Welcome, everybody, to the Rippling Tongue Podcast. My name is Colin McCroskey, and today with me is John and Christine. John, go ahead and say hello.
Good afternoon, everybody.
And Christine. Hello.
Hi, everybody. Christine here.
Welcome, everyone. Appreciate you joining us. Appreciate you taking time to listen to our podcast. Today, our topic is grace and patience. We've had a wonderful time in the last few weeks going through a number of breakfast clubs, listening to different people and facilitating a conversation around grace and patience. It was something that actually has been on a lot of our minds. And where it all originated was, it was at a seminar many, many years ago. A gentleman was talking about changing and altering and improving the procurement industry. And he was out really trying to make some pretty fundamental changes to the overall process. And it didn't matter what you were trying to procure. It was just trying to change and better the procurement industry. And the more I listened to him, the more I realized he had some really good points and some really fascinating ideas about how to change it and better it for both sides, the respondents and the requesters. And so afterwards, I went up to him and I said, hey, so are people actually doing what you're talking about? And his response was, yes, well, kind of. And I said, well, tell me a little more about that. And he goes, well, it's change. And it's some pretty deep-rooted and fundamental change to longstanding business processes. And anytime any organization or group of people go through that sort of change, it really requires a tremendous amount of grace and patience. And at the time, I nodded and smiled. And I said, ah, yes, grace and patience. Makes sense. And then I realized as I walked away, that's a very curious phrase, grace and patience. Wasn't quite sure what exactly that meant. I kind of assumed I knew what it meant. And so we thought we would go ahead and have a very in-depth series of conversations around what it actually means. And so we got together and we did a breakfast club, a number of breakfast clubs that addressed this topic. And as we dove into it, one of the very first things we wanted to do is we started asking questions around patience. Patience with each other, patience with ourselves, patience with our colleagues, our friends, and our family. And we heard a lot of very interesting things. And so, John, Christine, I wanted to start with you and find out, what did you hear? What resonated with you? And what ideas came to mind for you around the concept of patience?
Well, my mind first goes to patience with coworkers. And from the discussion today, Sierra was talking about how she was in a meeting and one of her colleagues actually said, hey, I think you might be coming across as impatient to somebody who's working under you. And I was just thinking about that dynamic. And so my mind goes to coworkers and goes to what makes me feel patience towards somebody or towards a situation. And I'm excited to dive more into that.
We heard a lot of interesting observations, and what really fascinated me was looking at the difference between patience at home versus patience at work. And so it became a debate in reality where some folks were very patient at work, but had very little patience with family. And other folks were like, you're crazy. We're way more patient at home than we are at work. And so I said, from my perspective, I was like, well, a lot of my patience at work requires me to tamp everything down first and to pause, to think, and slow down for just a minute before I react to people. So I said, in actuality, are you perceiving me as patient as opposed to me naturally being patient?
We heard that over and over. It's a pretty big discrepancy there, right? It was. I remember the one guy's story. He shared that he was working with the authority, trying to navigate a very complex situation, and multiple people on the authority side, multiple people on the client side, and towards the end of the process, one of the people on the authority side recognized him and said, "You have the patience of Job." And it means he has a tremendous amount. He's been extremely patient through the whole process, navigating, working, answering questions, redoing things over and over and over. And he laughed and he said, because I appreciated the comment. And then I got in my car and I drove home as the most impatient driver ever. And so the question was, are you doing that every day or just that one day? He goes, no, I realized I was doing it every single day. I was extremely patient through these long, tedious meetings. And then I was overly impatient trying to get home. And so it was really fascinating to see the differences around the different groups of people that we are in regards to our levels of patience, the context, the environment, and the relationships.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. How much are you putting on a different face in front of different people versus how authentic are you being versus what do you want to show and what do you want to not show? There's a lot that you could dive into there.
It was really interesting to see where some people were patient, others were completely opposite, right? Like John, you said, there were some at home that were patient more so than work, and then other people were completely the opposite. And then of course, within the work environment, some people were patient with those closer to them and more impatient with those at arm's length. We heard that today, right? The stranger. I'm a lot less patient with strangers because I don't really care. I won't see them again.
Mm-hmm.
And that got a few chuckles, but there was some truth. And then other people are like, man, I have a lot more patience with strangers than I do with those closest to me.
Right.
I think we had every perspective on this question and in this particular conversation. Yeah. It was pretty fascinating. And so as we explored that, right, we actually took a pause and we had to better understand what is grace and patience really mean. So we pulled out the Webster definition, looked it up online just to find what's the official definition of patience. And we heard a number of things, but really what Webster quotes, or if I were to quote the dictionary, right, it's the bearing, I'm going to look to my left here and read it for a moment. The bearing of provocation, annoyance, misfortune, pain, without complaint, loss of temper, irritation, or the like. So dealing with things that really frustrate you, annoy you, or just plain make your life hard without complaining. We talked about suppressing restlessness or annoyance when confronted with delay, steady perseverance, diligence, even tempered care. So that was all around patience. And then we asked about grace. So what's the definition of grace? And in grace, it was favor or goodwill and a manifestation of favor, such as by a superior or someone above you. And so what we looked at, everyone kind of agreed. Those make sense, right? So patience is tolerating other people, my summary, not anyone else's, but tolerating other people, their actions, behaviors, or inactions and in behaviors or misbehaviors. And then grace is extending the A-OK to allow people to do those things without reprimand or wagging the finger per se. So everyone somewhat agreed, okay, that makes sense. And we took the next step and we said, well, what do those look like in actual behavior, right? And we found a number of things that, eight of them to be specific, eight different things that we talked about of what those to manifest patience and grace into behavior. And it was really fascinating how, as we went through a number of groups with this conversation, each one latched on to a different one of those eight things. And so I'll read them real quick and then we'll talk about them. So the first one was words, spoken or written. Second is meeting others' needs. Third is let it go. Four is being present. Five is forgive. Six, gratitude. Seven, making others feel significant. And eight, staying true. So John, when we were chatting with the group together, we saw a huge focus on being present.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Right. And as we were talking about those, it was where it really came out for folks is as soon as we asked the question, of those eight things, which are you naturally good at? Right. And people, they jumped right at being present. That was one where a lot of them felt like they were pretty good about that. And I said, that's fabulous. Is your phone out? did you turn off your email? What's that little dinging noise I just heard? I said, that's fabulous. I love that you guys are really focused on being present. How we also asked the question about letting it go. Mm-hmm. And that to me seemed like it was one of the hardest ones for everyone in the room. I mean, most of us are overachievers in varying areas. I know for me, I have issues with responsibility. I take on so much responsibility on myself and I have difficulty letting it go. And one of the other ones I felt like we could actually spend a lot of time with, and I know that's an ongoing conversation at Ripple Intent, is gratitude, right? And what does that look like? How are we practicing it? So there's certainly a lot that we could extrapolate out of the groups from that.
John, we also talked a lot about letting it go, and people were trying to compare letting it go to forgiveness. and we were talking about what is that line, because in a certain sense, forgiveness is kind of letting it go and saying, it's all good. No need to say you're sorry. It's fine. You know, we're totally cool. But people are saying, okay, but if somebody's potentially letting something go, is that opening up the opportunity for somebody to like bring it back a few years later without the full forgiveness? So I thought that was really interesting.
That was pretty amazing. We had a long conversation with a number of people about that this morning around the specifics between, or the specifics and the differences between letting it go and forgiveness. And there were some pretty strong opinions that for some people, they could do one, but not the other. And of course, the others were flipped. But I don't remember anybody who said that they were naturally good at doing both.
Yeah, I don't remember that either. I don't think that came up because we were so excited about trying to compare the two, right?
So what I heard is I'm going to let it go today, but I'm not going to forgive you because no. I'm going to bring it back.
I won't forget. Tomorrow. I'll forgive, but I won't forget.
Yes, we did hear that, right? It up and I will make sure you remember that I remember what you did 3 years ago.
Yeah.
I let it go, but I still got it.
And I think that plays really more into grace than patience. I don't know. The more I think about it, the more I think like letting it go could potentially be surface level, right? But if you find it in your heart to like truly forgive somebody, it means that I won't bring it up later to pin it against you. And that requires grace.
Yes. It was funny because as we kept talking about this, there were some pretty challenging opinions around which of these have a place at work and which ones don't. What was really fascinating around the whole present piece was, you know, we are challenged right now being present, like you said, John, with the number of distractions between the phone, the email, the dings, the this, that, of course, all the people around us. But being present in the moment and then having that distraction of a deadline or a work product or something that needs to be done that didn't get done. And here you are either as a teammate or a manager or a leader, and you are trying to find the way to say it's okay in a way without, or at least trying to balance, great, what are we going to do because the person in front of me failed, right? Do you chastise for the mistake or for the lack of whatever it may be? Or do you extend grace and patience and then have to cover? There's a lot of debate around, okay, this sounds good with like my family, but when it comes to work, we don't have time for this stuff. There were a couple of really strong opinions in the conversation we had, Christine, about, I don't care who you are, we got stuff to get done and you need to get it done.
Mm-hmm. It's like a three strikes, you're out type of mentality at work. If you had a three strikes, you're out with your significant other, we'd all be in big trouble.
Very true. Very true.
That's right. My wife has already told me I'm only allowed 2 mistakes a year.
A year.
A year. Oh, she's generous. She's very generous.
Right. Exactly. I think I used those up by January 5.
Well, she's definitely got you in a place to understand where I think that conversation ultimately took us each time, which was the people were asking about, if you extend people patience and grace, when does it move to being an enabler of bad behavior? There's a lot of debate and discussion around that one.
Right. Yeah, because if somebody keeps messing up at work and it's something important, like they're missing deadlines or they're not communicating properly or not doing XYZ that meets their roles and responsibilities level, they just keep doing it over and over because you're saying, hey, I noticed you weren't doing this right, but let me show you how to do it better next time. And then if it keeps happening and keeps happening, it's like, where is your forgiveness meter? You know, is it up here? Is it right here? Like, yeah, that was a big conversation too.
It really was. I like the person who is like, well, if I got deadlines for 5 people, I'm going to find the one that's the easiest pushover and I'm just going to tell them, hey, I'm too busy. And it's like, so pushover equates to person who extends grace and patience.
Yeah. Yeah. People perceive forgiveness, I think, differently, a little differently in our industry. See it as like an easy, you're giving them the easy route or something. Like mistakes come really hard, I think.
Yeah, that, oh my gosh, guys, that triggers me on so many levels. Just that whole idea of who, which of, which internal client, external client is going to be, the pushover, who is the one we perceive as being forgiving. Oh, that triggers my responsibility so bad. 'Cause if I'm that client, oh, that's going to be really hard for me. I'm not going to let it go. I got to tell you what, I'm just not going to let that go. That is super hard. But yeah, where do you draw the line? I think it's such a gray area. It's so individually focused for when does it become enabling? How do you still maintain an attitude, a mindset of extending grace and being patient, without crossing over that line?
And we had a lot of that conversation, John, when you and I were talking with the group, because they were really exploring reading the situation to determine what's the right response for both the situation itself and the person or people sitting around a table with you, right? So it's a matter of being intentional. And sure, we're all going to react, right? If something's missed or something's wrong or something is taking longer than it should, right? We're all going to react and have those internal mechanisms that and emotional responses to all the situations. What the group was really trying to explore and understand was, how do you know what's the right lever to pull in this situation? Is the lever the action, right? The strong arm and be decisive and be command directive. Okay, here's what we're going to do. Or is it being able to sit tight and let the group or the individual work through whatever it is they need to work through on their own? Or is it a little bit of advice and guidance? And then again, staying, do you stay silent or do you offer a little bit of help? Or it was really fascinating to watch people talk about it. It was almost as though most people recognized when someone or a situation needed patience or grace. But everyone then jumped to, here's how I always react because this is what I normally do. It didn't seem to be a lack of, I don't say awareness around when it's needed, but what was lacking was the right response at the right time, or at least that's what a lot of the conversation was.
Right.
One thing that's striking to me with that would be interesting to follow up beyond that, to flip the question. So if not you're the one who is able to extend grace and be patient, but what about those times if you're the one who is struggling and you are need to request it? Right? How do we go about that and spin that conversation? Because that really makes me then become a lot more mindful of, oh, I got to be paying attention. That person actually needs me to be more patient with them, or how do I, work through a situation with them? Because tomorrow I'm going to be in the same boat.
That relationship, I think, that you're talking about definitely takes a certain amount of vulnerability, both from the project manager and the people doing the work. So you have to have trust and you have to have certain stepping stones, right, in order to have the opportunity to even come and say, I'm really struggling. I know I'm not meeting your deadlines. Please be patient with me. That's a big statement.
That is a that's a difficult thing in a lot of situations, especially externally, but even internally, right? But even with at home, right? If your significant other or your kids said, "Hey, be patient with me." Now, I can't in the life of me think about how or when my kids would ever say that, right? They
Right.
wouldn't say it that way, but I could certainly see them or hear them if I reflect even on the last couple of weeks. I think they've asked for it without actually saying that. And I most likely completely missed it each time that came up.
Just like, ah, you're just kids being kids, whatever. Patients tomorrow.
Right. Especially with the teenagers, you get the eye roll, you get the sigh, you get the right, all those different reactions. And I think in a way, those are all ways of saying the same thing. Give me a little bit of space, give me a little bit of patience. Right. And I wonder now too, how many folks at work have reacted the same way, right? Mm-hmm. Are they silent? Do they go stoic? Do they, passive aggressive, or because are there other signs? Is there another way that people are saying to their leader, to their manager, to their team, can you pause for a moment and give me a little bit of patience and grace on whatever it is that's happening without actually saying it that way?
Right. Or are they, do they have like enough self-awareness to recognize if they're in front of others and they're just like sighing or eye rolls? Like, do they even know that they're doing that? Because your subconscious could be thinking a series of things in the meeting and you may have no idea that you're doing these eye rolls, right? And I think it takes that one person, or it takes somebody to come up to you and say, hey, I noticed you were a little bit different in that meeting. Like, what's going on? That's one thing, going back to Sierra's story, is she had that person who was able to talk to her and felt comfortable even saying that. But if you don't have that person who's comfortable enough to say it, you could be doing this stuff in meetings or just even in one-on-one conversations and like potentially not know it.
Absolutely. And in our hybrid work environment, if you're not on video, can you hear the eye roll?
Right.
I think that's that actually, I'm processing that a little bit as well. So, one of the things we're going to have to be mindful of is, if you're not in person, what does that really look like? Right. It's, that could be at some point, that's going to have to be a phone call, because this is really in order to convey, I need some grace from you. That's always going to work better as a conversation as opposed to something written, or the silence that just sits on the other end of a Teams chat.
Right.
How true. How very, very true. It's a skill I think we've all continued to learn. And as both leaders and teammates, right, being aware of when people are looking for grace and patience, not specifically looking or asking for it, but understanding the subtle or not so subtle cues when they really mm-hmm. need it. And then of course, as an individual, looking for that opportunity to, like you said, Christine, be vulnerable enough and trusting enough to say, I need you to give me some space on this while I work through it. Or mm-hmm. I need you to be here with me while I go through this. Here's what I need. I don't need you to fix it, but I need your help and support in X, Y, Z. Very, very important. And it was an amazing conversation. Each of the conversations we had that focused on grace and patience. One thing that you would share with our listeners, one takeaway around grace and patience. Let's start with you, John.
You have to start with yourself. If I can't have a little grace and patience with myself, then I'm not going to be able to maintain the mindset to carry it on for everyone else.
Well said. How about you, Christine?
For me, I'm really thinking about grace specifically. It's not only forgiveness, but it is vulnerability, which we've been talking about a lot. And with your significant other, it is about self-awareness at times. There's so many components to grace. And I love digging into those more, but that's really what I'm thinking about, is how can I focus on those stepping stones to grace to really put that into work, into my personal life, into all interactions.
Well said. Well said. And I would say, I think if there's one thing to take away that we heard from so many different people, is that we all need more of it. We need mm-hmm. more of it for ourselves. I say it, we need more patience and grace towards ourselves, and we need to be able to and work on extending more patience and grace. And so my takeaway from that is everybody around you is looking for ways to extend it more and also allow themselves the freedom to give themselves more of it. So if you're feeling that way, you're totally not alone. With that, I think that wraps up our conversation today around patience and grace. I'd like to thank Christine and John for joining us on the Ripple Intent podcast. Remember to check us out on LinkedIn, as well as our website, www.rippleintent.org. And until next time, hope you find an opportunity to extend some patience and grace. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you down the road.